Okay, so our next speaker will be speaking on prevalence and correlates of and reasons for non-disclosure of male partners among African-American adolescent females with an STD history. The speaker is Audria Swartzenruber. She is currently a PhD candidate in the Department of Family and in the Department of Population and Family and Reproductive Health at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Her primary focus of study is reproductive epidemiology. She works part-time in the Department of Behavioral Science and Health Education at Emory University, where she also got her master's. She is a guest researcher in the International Activities Unit there, and that's in the Division of STD Prevention for the Center of Disease and Control Prevention. Did I get that right? CDC?
Yes.
Okay. So before pursuing her PhD, Ms. Swartzenruber worked for 9 years with CDC, spending 6 of those years in the Global AIDS Program, working on prevention of mother-to-child HIV transmission. And the other three years, she worked in the epidemiology branch in the Division of HIV/AIDS Prevention. So we will now have her come up. She will be presenting the next 2 talks. So after her first talk, we'll take questions, and then she will go into her second talk, which is treatment seeking and sexual behavior among African American adolescent females with STD symptoms. Welcome.
Good afternoon. So I'm delighted to talk to you today about non-disclosure among a sample of African-American adolescent females in Atlanta, Georgia, with an STI history. And I have no conflicts of interest to report. In the United States, black females 15 to 19 years of age have the highest rates of both chlamydia and gonorrhea of all age, race, and gender categories. Disclosing STIs to sexual partners helps facilitate sexual partner treatment and prevent recurrent infections. The objective of our study was to investigate the prevalence and correlates of and reasons for non-disclosure to male partners among young African American women with an STI history. This study is a secondary analysis of data that were collected as part of a behavioral HIV prevention trial. The study sample included 715 African American females who were recruited from 3 reproductive health clinics in Atlanta. Participants were eligible to participate if they self-identified as African American, were 15 to 21 years of age, and had at least 1 episode of unprotected vaginal intercourse in the past 6 months. Participants were excluded from participating if they were married, pregnant, or attempting to become pregnant. This study is an analysis of the baseline ACASI data, which was collected prior to randomization in the intervention trial. We used descriptive statistics to assess the frequency of participants in the sample who self-reported ever being treated for an STI, participants who with an STI history who reported their male partner was not treated the last time they had an STI, and the proportion of those with untreated partners who did not tell their partner about their diagnosis and reasons for non-disclosure. We use simple and multivariable logistic regression models to compare sociodemographic, partner level, behavior and psychosocial characteristics among those who did not versus did disclose their last STI to their untreated partner. Variables which were significant at p less than 0.1 in simple models were then considered for the final model, which also controlled for age. This table presents the baseline characteristics of the 715 participants. Mean age was 17.8. Mean age at first sex was 14.6. The mean number of lifetime sexual partners was 8.6, while the number of sexual partners in the past 60 days was 1.5. Mean percent condom use in the past 60 days was about 50%. The majority were attending school, and the vast majority had reported, self-reported, ever trying alcohol and marijuana. Abuse was very common in this population, with 61% reporting a history of emotional abuse, roughly a quarter reporting a history of physical abuse, and about half reported physical abuse, and roughly a quarter reported a history of substance abuse. 54% of all participants reported they had ever been treated for an STI. Of those, 28% reported that their partner was not treated the last time they had an STI. And 31% who reported that their partner was not treated said they did not notify their partner of their diagnosis. This slide presents the reasons participants gave for not disclosing their last STI to their partner, and participants were instructed to choose one of these responses. 22% of participants reported they did not know what to say. 16% reported they were too embarrassed. Others had concerns that their partner would accuse them of cheating or find out that they had cheated. And one participant reported concerns about violence. A full 44% reported the other reasons for non-disclosure. So this next set of slides presents the unadjusted associations between the baseline factors and non-disclosure among the 103 participants who reported their partner was not treated the last time they had an STI. Among the socio-demographic factors we assessed, living in a household which received government assistance was protective against non-disclosure, and currently being enrolled in school increased the odds of non-disclosure by about 3.5 times. Reporting a history of physical abuse decreased the odds of non-disclosure by about 60% in unadjusted analyses, and we did not find an association between general age of sexual partners and non-disclosure. Reporting feeling at least somewhat upset by the diagnosis relative to not being upset at all or only slightly upset increased the odds of non-disclosure to her male partner by about 3 times. Among the psychosocial factors we assessed, having a more external locus of control decreased the likelihood of non-disclosure, and this factor was assessed with a 4-item scale. A sample item included, I have little control over the things that happened to me. You can also see the greater perceived family support was associated with an increased likelihood of non-disclosure. Family support was assessed again with a 4-item scale, and a sample item included, my family really tries to help me. This slide presents the results of our multivariable model. A number of factors remain statistically significant in these adjusted analyses. Living in a household which received government aid decreased the likelihood of non-disclosure by about 75%, while current school enrollment and being upset by the diagnosis increased the odds of non-disclosure by about 4 times. This study is subject to a number of limitations. Most importantly, we were limited in assessing disclosure only among participants who reported their partner had not been treated. However, we feel like our analysis is consistent with an approach to improving notification and treatment services among untreated males. We also had limited data with which to fully understand the context of the last diagnosis. We did not have information on how recent that diagnosis was made, which STI they were diagnosed with, or if the participant or her partner were actually diagnosed first. Another limitation was our inability to capture the other reasons for non-disclosure, given this was the most common response. We were also limited in the amount of information we had about male partners. We didn't know partner type, the number of partners, or specific partner characteristics related to non-disclosure. However, we do have a number of strengths. We focused on a high-risk population, and we're able to assess a rich set of potential correlates, and we were able to identify some specific factors which may help in targeting future interventions. In conclusion, although most participants reported that their partners were treated the last time they had an STI, many did not notify their male partners of their diagnoses. We feel like programs should seek to promote partner notification and treatment by helping participants or by helping adolescents approach and communicate effectively with their partners. And those who are in school and who are perhaps most upset by their diagnosis may have special need for interventions facilitating partner notification. So that concludes presentation one. I'd be more than happy to take questions or comments. Yeah, I think my response is going to be pure conjecture. I think if you take kind of the findings together, those who were more upset about it, who maybe had felt like and did not know what to say and were embarrassed and in school, I mean, one look or one interpretation might be that, you know, they don't want other people to find out. They feel the most stigmatized or the most embarrassed. I think an alternate kind of explanation would be that they have more casual partner, you know, that being in school might be a proxy for having more casual partners, and some of the other literature, you know, would support that having an ongoing relationship would increase disclosure rates. So I don't know, my answer is I don't know, but those are some guesses.
In the back.
This was Horizon. It was part of an intervention, behavioral intervention trial called Horizons.
My question was, I know for a while they were considering giving vouchers to partners for treatment. Have they decided to implement that, and/or have they created something about partner communication with the girls?
Sure. And this, as I said, it was part of an intervention package called Horizons, which did include vouchers for male partners. Because the study was a longitudinal study and collected made STI diagnoses, provided vouchers for participants to give to male partners. Other studies that also done by this research group have also used EPT and other methods with which to try to facilitate partner notification and treatment.
Thank you.